mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden, soul bound liberty at Calvary. One more time. Oh, his mercy there was great, and grace was free. His pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. Certainly good to be in service again together. And a lot of people have been asking when we're going to do a humble night again. And so, Lord willing, next Wednesday night will be a humble night here at Church of the Open Door. So for those of you that maybe haven't been here since we've done that, Brother Branham said in a couple different places, he said they used to on Wednesday nights have a humble night. And he said that's where the brothers would just wear their work clothes and the sisters would wear whatever they worked in the garden or whatever. So you feel free to dress down next Wednesday night. Some of you look like you're already ready for it, but no, I'm just teasing. I had a brother, we got together for supper the other night, and he emailed me. He said, I'm wearing jeans. I hope that's okay. And I said, brother, them people don't care what you wear. So, amen. It's not so much about what's on the outside. It's about what's on the inside. And just because maybe somebody can dress a little bit better than somebody else, if it's not right on the inside, then that's what counts. We do believe that when what's right is on the inside, it makes you dress right on the outside. But Brother Bram said that didn't matter if it was a bibbed overalls or a tuxedo suit, that they could still put their arms around one another. So we'll be looking forward to that. Also, Lord willing, this coming Sunday evening, Brother Arnie will be preaching for us, so we'll be looking forward to that. And got several prayer requests that we want to bring before the Lord this evening. Sister Patty Ard, she's not feeling well. She has an infection and in pain and had to return to the hospital today for some treatment, so I want to remember her in prayer. Also, Sister April Stutzman not feeling well. And Brother Yarborough, I believe, is traveling home tomorrow. Is that correct? He'll be traveling home tomorrow, so I want to remember him in prayer for traveling mercies. Brother Ivan Milby, they've turned him over to hospice, and me and Brother Layton went and visited him, I guess, on Monday, and he's not doing too well, so I want to certainly remember him in prayer during this time. And also Sister Patty Milby, she's very sick. They had her on an antibiotic and found out she's allergic to it, and she was extremely sick before she realized what was going on there, so I want to remember her in prayer. And then also Sister Felicia Allen not feeling well this evening. So many requests, but the Lord knows about each one. How many has unspoken requests you'd like to bring, Lord, with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Good to see you. We got a visitor tonight, I think. Brother Stephen's back home with us finally, so good to have them back. They've been gone for 3 weeks, and I was gone for 2 weeks before that, so I guess this is the longest time me and Brother Stephen haven't seen each other in quite a few years, but good to have you back with us. And would you mind just coming tonight and leading us in a word of prayer over these requests?
God bless you, saints. It's wonderful to see you. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be back in this place once again with the saints that you've provided for us to walk a stretch of this life with, Lord. And Lord, we have needs amongst our group. I'm thinking just about Sister Patty and all the trials that sister has faced. Lord, I just pray that you would touch her in a special way. Lord, I think sometimes you let some trials, extra trials, come to your special ones. And I just feel that Sister Patty is one of the special ones here, Lord. I just pray that you'd come down in a mighty way and touch her and that family. Lord, and for the other requests, for Sister Patty Hansel and her father, it's tough to lose a loved one, Lord. And if it's his time to go, we want him to go to be with you, Lord. But we pray that his way would be peaceful and not filled with pain, Lord. And just strengthen that family and be with them. Lord, for the other requests, there's so much going on. People facing trials of finances and jobs, health, and just different things. Lost loved ones. Lord, we pray that you meet each situation. And Lord, We don't know the timing of it, Lord, but we come to you in faith, knowing that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we would ask or even expect. So now just come, and our hearts yearn to meet with you tonight, Lord. We feel your presence as the songs of Zion are sung. And we just come, we just ask you to come down and move in a mighty way in this place tonight. Lord, as the word is opened up, may it be quickened to our hearts, Lord, and may it have an effect upon our lives, that we might just draw a little closer to you and be a little stronger for the journey ahead. Bless us now all as we go forward in this service, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. You can be seated this evening. I believe we got a special from Sister Leah Leek and Sister Anna Pierce tonight, if they'd come at this time. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? He knows all about it, knows your name, knows your birthday, knows your address, knew you before you was formed in your mother's womb, before the foundation of the world. Amen. Gives us a comfort to know that he knows all about it. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight. If the brothers would come.
Well, I started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. Since then, I've had a lot of heartache. Had a lot of grief and woe. But when I would stumble, then I would humble down. Then and there I would say, make it to heaven somehow, even though the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. Oh, church, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I could want, and some worldly fame if I could. Still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Is that how you feel about it? There's nothing in the world that'll ever take the place of God's love. All our silver and gold couldn't buy a mighty touch from above. And when my soul needs healing, I begin to feel His power. Then and there I would say, wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh no, I would take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow, even though the devil tempts me, he's tried to turn me around. Oh, church, he's offered everything. That's got a name, all the wealth I could want, and some worldly fame. But if I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh yes, there's nothing in this world could ever take the place of my God's love. All the silver and gold couldn't buy a mighty touch from above. Then when my soul needs healing, oh, I begin to feel His power. I begin to feel it now. Oh yes, then I would say to myself, wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh no, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. We gotta make it to heaven somehow, even though the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. Oh yes, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I'd want, worldly fame if I could. Still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, just worship Him tonight. Oh, I would. Way tonight. Well, I started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. Since then, we've had a lot of heartaches, had a lot of grief and woe. But when I would stumble, then I would humble down. Then and there I would say, wouldn't take nothing for this journey now. Oh, no, I would. For my journey now, gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me, tried to turn me around. Oh, he's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want, worldly fame if I could. Still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Amen. God bless you richly tonight. Amen. I'm thankful that we feel that way about it. Amen. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 2, if you turn with me tonight. 2 Kings chapter 2. I want to begin with verse 5 tonight. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. Let's bow our heads tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before your throne again tonight, Lord, you know all the needs that were read before. You know all about it. You know each circumstance, each situation, each need. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would go and minister to those needs tonight, Lord. Many that wanted to be here, Lord, but couldn't because of physical ailments, different things that arose, Lord. But just ask you to be with them and grant them a blessing as well. Bless us that's here tonight, Lord. And Lord, we need another touch from you. It takes you to do it, Father. It's more than any mortal being can do. But if you'll just come by our way again tonight, Father, Lord, we know that we'll have encouragement. We'll be able to go out and say, as those on the road to Emmaus, didn't our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us along the way? Lord, may you just be with the continuation of the service. We commit it into your hands for your perfect will and complete control. Father, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. We find that Elijah's physical time on earth was coming to a close, and as he begins to head towards Jordan, he stops several different places along the way, and Elisha going right with him. And finally they get to Jericho, and there's some sons of the prophets that come up, and they tell Elisha, you know, no doubt with good intent, maybe they're just wanting to warn him, maybe they're just wanting to share with him a little bit of what they know. Many times if we're not careful, we've got to do that. We've got to tell somebody that we know more about it than they do, and we've got to explain it all and just have a little bit. Even, you know, some people, they've got to have just a little bit more news than you have, and they're just so excited if they can share just a little bit more information than what you have. And these men, with good intent, they begin to tell Elisha, don't you know that this man you've been following, that he's going on home to glory? And they were prophets as well, and maybe they had seen visions, maybe they recognized the signs and things that were taking place. And he answered, and he said, I know it. I'm a prophet as well. The Lord shows me some things too. He said, I know it, but hold ye your peace. Brother Branham, I believe it was, told Brother Collins this way once. There was people that was prophesying and telling him all kinds of different things. And Brother Branham asked him, he said, well, did the Lord tell you anything about it? And he said, no. And he said, well, he would have told you before he told them. Many times, you know, people with good intentions, Brother Branham said, when he would be in there and the Lord would tell him something, he would go out to do it. And he said, there'd be people waiting there at the steps saying, oh, thus saith the Lord, this, this, and this, and telling him something else than the Lord has told him. But if the Lord wanted him to do something, I believe the Lord could speak directly to him. Many times we want to do something and we want to say something, and you know, sometimes that's all right if it's the Lord, but a lot of times if we'll just wait on the Lord and just hold our peace, he'll come on the scene and do what needs to be done. And Elijah tells this young prophet, he tells him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he tells him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And so they go on and they head towards Jordan. Now, I read something in Halley's Bible handbook that I thought was very interesting about this. They picked this up and they said, now conscious that the time of his departure had come, he headed straight for the land of Moses' burial, Mount Nebo. Now, if you remember, when the children of Israel are coming into the promised land, God stops Moses and he takes him up on Mount Nebo, and Moses looks over the promised land. But God wouldn't let Moses enter in because of his disobedience in smiting the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And we looked at it a few months ago, how that even Satan disputed with Michael the archangel about Moses' burial place, and he couldn't figure it out. Brother Branham said how he saw him standing on the rock one moment and then he was gone, and Brother Branham said no mortal man could pack him where he was going, that he had angel pallbearers. And the devil couldn't figure this out, how he saw Moses standing there on the rock one moment and then he was gone, and he disputed with Michael about this burial place. But now that it comes time for Elijah's passing, he heads straight towards Jordan, and looking right across the Jordan River, he's headed right back towards Mount Nebo where Moses passed. Now, I believe there's a reason for this, because as he crosses over Jordan right there at the foot of Mount Nebo, the next time he is seen is 900 years later. They see this man again, the disciples, and he's with Moses. There was something about it. He was waiting there for him, maybe just in a dimension faster. As Brother Branham said, I heard him on a tape the other day. He said he was sitting there as his sister-in-law, Ruth, was passing into eternity. And he asked her, he said, Ruth, do you want me to get the picture of Christ and put it in the room in front of you? She said, no, Billy, he's always before me. His face is always before me. And he said, as he was sitting there in the room praying for her, as she was getting ready to pass into eternity, that the rocking chair began to rock back and forth with nobody in the chair, but I believe somebody was waiting there for her when she crossed over into eternity. I believe Moses was standing there waiting. It's about time for this other prophet to come along, and he's standing there on Mount Nebo in a dimension faster, and here comes Elijah, and they're joined together, and the next time they're seen, it might only seem like seconds to them in that faster dimension, but it was 900 years later. They're standing there, and they don't know exactly what Mount Transfiguration is, but one of the speculations is that it might have been Mount Nebo is where they went up to a high mountain, and he sees Moses and Elijah there together. Now, Brother Branham tells us in the fifth seal in 1963, he said the spirit of Elijah ministers five times and Moses two. He says again in the fifth seal, he said Elijah was a prophet to all nations, but Moses was a lawgiver to the Jews only. And so we see Elijah, as we looked at it before, he comes, the spirit of Elijah, on the man Elijah himself, the flesh. Then this spirit, a double portion of it, goes over to Elisha. And then it goes to John the Baptist. Then it was promised to be again in Malachi 4, which by revelation we've received. Thank God for that. And now he's coming again to the Jews with Moses, another ministry. And Brother Branham, we're going to look at it a little bit here to see what Brother Branham says about this, but before we do, let's turn tonight to Revelations chapter 11 and pick it up at verse 3 when the Bible is speaking of this coming, when Moses and Elijah come again together. It says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, I want you to notice he doesn't call the name of Moses and the name of Elijah here, but I want you to notice the description of their ministries. He said, if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. Now that's just like when Elijah was there on the mountain and Ahaziah kept sending men up to try to talk to him, and he sent one group up and fire devoured them. And he sent up a second group, and he called down fire to heaven and devoured them. And the third group went up and said, hey, we come peaceably. Just don't, this king sent us, don't blame us. And so this same anointing is on these men. If any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. It said, these have power to shut heaven that it rain not. That sounds familiar. In the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them into blood. We remember Moses doing that in our studies a few months ago. And to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. That was the ministry, very exact type of Moses. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of that great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified, which we understand by revelation is Jerusalem. But yet it goes on to say that after a few days, they'll stand back up and be called up into heaven. The people stand there and look in amazement. Now, Brother Branham says this, and this is such a disputed thing around the message, even though it shouldn't be, because Brother Branham explains it pretty plainly. But who will these men be, this Moses and Elijah? Will it be literally Moses and Elijah? Will it be two Jews that are anointed with their spirit? Will it be Gentiles that are anointed with their spirit? And he picks it up in the 10 virgins and the 144,000 Jews in 1960. And he says, Elijah and Moses returns again and preach to the Jews, two men anointed with that spirit, or maybe them theirself. Now, 1960, he's standing there and he's unsure. He says it could be two men that's anointed with their spirit, or maybe it could be them themselves. He comes over in 70, the week of Daniel in 1961. He said, what is it? He said, the spirit. I want you to notice that he very plainly here, because people can get this confused very easily the way he words it. But he says, the spirit of Elijah
off of this Gentile church, we'll just continue right on into that Jewish church, go right on in and call Moses with him, hallelujah, you see it, and he'll preach the same message of Pentecost to those Jews that they rejected the message, amen, he said, you see it, and he says it'll be the same Pentecostal message that these Jews will preach right over to them, and they'll hate those Jews so bad till they'll kill them. So he says it's that same spirit of Elijah just continues on the same message, but that it's two Jews and that they'll hate him so bad that they'll kill him. Now they come around and ask him this question over and over in the questions and answers on the seals in 1963. And if you remember questions and answers on the seals in 63, he's preached the first through the sixth seal. And that morning he comes and he preaches the questions and answers. They ask him all kinds of questions about what has happened up to that part. And then he comes that evening and preaches the seventh seal. And as he's standing there preaching and teaching on these questions that they've asked him related to what he's been teaching thus far in the seal series, he stops a minute, he reads a question and he begins to answer it, and he just stops. And he said, is somebody sick? And he said, what's taking place? He says, a few services later, he said, I felt like I'd taken candy from a baby. And he said he couldn't understand what was going on. Somebody said, read the question again. And he goes back and he reads it again. It wasn't that he was answering the question wrong. It's that he had read the question incorrectly and misunderstood what they were asking. And so in misunderstanding what the question was, he goes to answer it and he's saying something different. And the Holy Spirit stops him. He said the Holy Spirit was watching over those questions. Now, one of the first questions, I think it's the 10th question they ask him in this, they said, is the Elijah who comes to preach to the Jews the real man who lived on the earth, or will he be the spirit of Elijah in some other man? He says, I'm inclined to believe that it will be anointed men of their spirit, because see, he says, does not the spirit of Elijah rest on Elisha, see, the spirit of Elijah, and he done just like Elijah did, see. They go on and ask him again, question number 17. Brother Branham, is the seventh angel with the spirit of Elijah the same man as the Elijah sent to the 144,000 Jews during the 3.5 years after the rapture? Some of us are mixed up in this. He says, no, he isn't the same, see. It's two different men. Then Elisha that come in the form of Elijah was not Elijah, and the spirit of Elijah that came upon the man John the Baptist was not Elijah, and the man of the seventh angel messenger at the end of the Laodicean age will not be the literal Elijah. He will be a Gentile to the people. He said Elijah will. The spirit of Elijah then coming into the people there, he will be a Jew, see, for they are sent to their own people. He said, that's my revelation. Now, I'll just take his word for it. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, I think it'll be this way, and I think it'll be that way. Well, your opinion, if I'm going to take anybody's opinion, Brother Randy, I'll take mine over yours. But when we can go back and see what has been said and see how it's been vindicated and see how the Holy Spirit watched over it, I'll take his revelation over anybody else's. Question number 25, they ask him, Brother Branham, if all the godly was taken up in the rapture, well, where will the Elijah and Moses come from? Will they be Jews, or will our Elijah given to us be with them? He said, no. He said, a Gentile that'll be anointed with this spirit to call out the Gentiles will be taken away, because you see, the whole church all has been taken up, and these two prophets of the 11th chapter is brought down, and the day of grace has ended with the Gentiles and been sent on to the Jews. He said, no, it won't be the same man. He says again, questions and answers on the seals. When God is dealing with the Jews, there wasn't any Gentile prophets come. When God's dealing with the Gentiles, there's no Jewish prophets. When God turns back to the Jews, there'll be no Gentile prophets. So we find ourselves right at this cusp of an age. Brother Branham said, it's one thing, I heard him on tape today, he said, it's one thing for a brick mason to lay a wall. And he said, many people can go and just lay brick after brick after brick building a wall. But he said, we're not building a wall, we're building a building. And he said, when you have a building, he said, and a corner has to be turned, he said, then it takes a real brick mason to be able to turn those corners. And when Wesley and Luther came, Luther had to turn a corner there, and it was a hard time. And then it went from that to Wesley, and he had to turn a corner. And then in this age, a corner has been turned again with the restoration of the word, but yet it'll keep going straight on out through that message until it comes time for the Gentile dispensation to be over, and then it'll turn a corner again and go back to the Jews. Brother Branham said that I believe it's in the beginning and ending of the Gentile dispensation. He said that the Gentile age was issued in with the worship of a man there when they were trying to worship Daniel, and the king had created an image that was, he was worshiping him as his God. Brother Branham said it was issued in with the worship of a man, and it'll issue out with the worship of a man, because they'll try to look at the Pope and make him literally God incarnate, and he is something incarnate, but it's not God. Brother Branham said it would be Satan incarnate. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Now they had seen this, or they had heard of this rather, taking place before. In the days of Moses, he had walked across on dry land. In the days of Joshua, they had walked across on dry land. But I can imagine the surprise of some of these men that thought they were so intellectual and had such a great revelation that they were going to try to tell Elisha something. And now they see him walking with Elijah, and they see these two men walking over Jordan together on dry land. They might have thought, oh, I wish I would have followed him a little closer like Elisha did. They knew about Elijah's ministry, and they were associated with him. But when it came right to going down to Jordan, which Brother Branham said represented death, these two men walk arm in arm across on dry land. And these men standing back and looking at it, no doubt they thought, oh my, I wish I would have followed a little closer to the message. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. See, there were some benefits to this message that he was following. Remember, the scripture said, forget not his benefits, that the Lord has some benefits. And I'm blessed. I was thinking last night, looking around at some different things that the Lord has blessed us with, and not just financial things or monetary things, but with good health and salvation and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and look around and see our families serving the Lord. There's some benefits that go along with this thing. And he looks at Elisha and he says, what can I do for you before I go? And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken away from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Now he gives him a situation here that if you see me when I go, I'll grant you a double portion. But if you don't see me when I go, it won't take place. He said, you've asked a hard thing. Now, Brother Branham said what this meant was that he did double the amount of miracles that Elijah did. It didn't mean he was any more of a prophet, didn't mean his anointing was any more powerful, but twice the miracles that took place in Elijah's ministry. Brother Branham said there was 8 miracles took place in the days of Elijah. There were 16 that took place in the days of Elisha. And he looks down and Brother Branham begins to talk about this, and there's 14 different times from 1948 to 1965 that he calls Elisha a type of the church. And he says in 1954, in the sermon Elijah and Elisha, he says a beautiful type of the church. When Jesus was here on earth, he done great works and great wonders. Elijah, when he was here, he did great works. But Elisha had a double portion of his spirit. Elijah done 8 miracles, and Elisha 16 miracles, a double portion perfect of the church. A double portion that was poured out on the church. He said a perfect type of Elijah and Elisha standing there. Elijah typing Christ and Elisha typing the church. Now, I don't care. You know, there's many people. They're looking for some great something to rise. And they're looking for either a ministry or a personality or a person or something to come and do greater than what Brother Branham did. I hate to tell you tonight, but you missed it. You missed it. Brother Branham says, and be not afraid, in Isaiah 19:61, he said, remember, thus saith the Holy Spirit, this is your last sign. Write it in your Bible. And if something rises besides this and greater than this, call me a false prophet. He said, that's quite a statement. I watch what I say. I'm in contact with better than 10 million people around the world, see. So I have to say that. And I know I didn't say that myself. He didn't say it himself. You know, I heard a man that told my dad, I wasn't there and heard him tell it, but dad has related later, a man that was in the Pentecostal ranks with them. He told my dad, he said, we're going to do bigger and greater than Branham did. And dad said, well, you better get started because you got a lot of catching up to do. A lot of catching up to do. I've never seen a man come in 7 truckloads. These weren't go-karts full. These weren't little bitty Chevy S10 trucks full. These were huge dump trucks full of wheelchairs and crutches and stretchers. And in Durban, South Africa, he said he heard them singing Only Believe, and he looked out the window, and 7 truckloads of them came. I don't care who the man is, Jimmy Swaggart or Benny Hinn or Joel Osteen, they better get a running start if they're going to catch that man, if they're going to do greater. And if they do, then he said to call him a false prophet. I'm not looking for anybody to come and do greater. But Brother Branham said that what it was, that Elijah and that Elisha type being Christ and the church when Jesus was here, he said, the works that I do, you'll do in greater. Brother Branham said there he was, one person in a specific geographic location. But then as they begin to go out and the Holy Spirit coming down and 120 of them filled in the upper room, and then they went out and the first conversion, there was 3,000 people, and they begin to go back to their homelands and take it here and there, and people began to hear about what God had done and about Christ being raised from the dead and how he hadn't just raised himself, but now that he was quickening himself to creatures in Christ Jesus, and how that their lives had been changed and how that miracles and signs and wonders were following the church, it became more works. There was no one man that came and did more works than what Jesus did. It wasn't that. One of the apostles said, if all that was done would have been written, the whole world couldn't contain the books of what Jesus did. But now it was the body of Christ. It wasn't just one human vessel that he had come and filled with the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But now it was the entire church going forth performing signs and wonders. And so when Elijah and Elisha standing there, he said it being a type of the church. I'm not looking for anybody to do any greater than what Brother Branham did. But I believe the bride collectively around the world over a period of 50 years, there may have been more people raised collectively than what there was in Brother Branham's ministry. There may have been more people healed worldwide, Zimbabwe, Congo, Jeffersonville, Tennessee, Kentucky, Arizona. There may have been more healed. I don't know. Collectively. But I'll tell you one guy that hasn't done more. This guy right here. I'm not trying to do more. I'm not claiming I'm going to do more. And if you're looking for me to do more, you're going to be very disappointed. But I believe the bride collectively, that she can do the greater works. Brother Branham said she could and she would. He says in Escape Hither Come Quickly, 1958, he said there's not a hope for the world outside of the coming of the Lord Jesus. That's the only hope. You can put an Eisenhower in every county and America will still wait in sin. He said, I'm not looking for any great revival. The thing of it is, the revival has come and gone and you didn't know it. It's always been that. You're looking for something, and Satan's kept saying, there'll be greater over here, greater over there. And he said, and it's passed right by you. He said, did not John the Baptist come on the earth and even the righteous didn't even recognize him? Did not the disciples say, when will Elijah come? And he said, he's already come and you didn't know it. He said, the revival is just about over. Don't look for nothing greater. We've already got the greatest thing in heaven, the Holy Spirit manifesting himself in this generation. He said, there's nothing else that can be done. Now, you could argue and debate about it, but I'll take his revelation on it. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 11, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in 2 pieces. The arrow of God deliverance shot from a bow in 1956. Brother Branham picks up on this and he said, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horse. He said, in other words, my father, You're worth more than all the chariots of Israel and all of the horsemen thereof. He said, and how true that is. I say tonight, though Elijah was considered a holy roller, a fanatic by the modern world, yet his presence in that nation was worth more than all the horses and chariots they had. That one man, just a humble prophet, came out of the wilderness clothed in goat skins and things, and he stomps out there out of the wilderness and he rebukes Ahab and he rebukes Jezebel, and he wasn't very popular, and maybe he didn't have great swelling words, and maybe he didn't have a lot of education, but Elisha picks up on it under that same anointing, and he says, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Brother Bram said what he meant to say was that all of the chariots, all of their power, any army in that day, their power was in the chariots. If you had more chariots than another army, you were probably going to win, because all these chariots and horsemen could just plow down through these men that were just walking with swords and spears. And so the very power of their army lay in their chariots. It would be like our tanks today out on the battlefield. That was the tank of the medieval days. And he looks at this and he says, but all the chariots and all the horsemen of Israel, they're not worth one of you, Elijah. Brother Branham said it took 100 lots to make one Abraham. And Brother Branham goes on to say, I'll say this tonight. He says that a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost tent meeting is more to protect us than all the atomic bombs that we could create in a million years. He said, amen. Amen. I'm not depending on a bomb shelter. I'm not trying to dig deeper into the earth. I'm trying to go up higher out of the earth. I'm not depending in wealth and the economy and the stock market. I'm not depending in my intelligence or my physical health or any of those things. I'm depending on the Holy Spirit to get me out of here. I'm depending on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And He could stand there, and Elijah and Elisha standing there together, Elisha could look around and see all that had been done and all that had been prophesied of. And then going on a little further into his own life, how he stood there and the king of Syria said, oh my, he said, we've got a spy among us. And they said, no, it's not that there's any spy among us. He said, every time I go to attack Israel, they're already ready for me and they're waiting there for me. He said, which one of you is a spy? And one of his little servants piped up. He said, sir, we're just as loyal can be. But he said, what it is, there's this man named Elisha, and God tells him even the things you whisper in your bedchamber. That one man was worth more to him than all their armies and chariots and everything else they could think of. And I want to tell you tonight, the message that we have today, it's worth more than your intelligence. It's worth more than your bank account. It's worth more than your best friend or whoever the most spiritual person in your family is. We've had thus saith the Lord in this age. You can take this whole world, but just give me Jesus. I got a chance to talk to Brother Billy Paul recently. He told me a testimony that I never heard before. He said, Brother Nathan, he said, a man stood right in my office there at Voice of God. Stood right in my office. And he said, he began to tell me a story about how he had grown up in Sellersburg, Indiana. And he never heard of Brother Branham, but he got into college. And he said he went to a renowned college in America here that he had to travel, and he went and was studying there. And as he was studying, he got this one professor, and he was sitting there up in one of the chairs in the classroom, didn't know anything about the message, just a nominal Christian. And the professor got up and began to talk, and he said, you know, he said, there was a man named William Branham from Jeffersonville, Indiana. And he said, when he said that word, Jeffersonville, Indiana, it caught my attention because I was from Sellersburg. And he said, that man was a false prophet. And he said, in fact, he had said that a woman committed adultery on her husband, and the man came in and shot him out of the pulpit and killed him because he was a false prophet. Now, any of us know that he was killed in a car crash in Amarillo, Texas. But this man is speaking this. This guy don't have any bit more idea about who Brother Branham is than somebody up at the North Pole that had never heard of it. But yet he was raised right in Sellersburg, Indiana. And he said, Brother Billy, he said, there was something about it. He said, I just stood up out of my seat. And he said, sir, I've never heard of this man, William Branham. He said, but I'm a Christian. And the spirit inside of me speaks to me and says that you're a liar. And I'm going to do my final thesis on William Branham and prove it. I'm sure he wasn't very popular the rest of that class. And so he came home on vacation, and he used to go to the bowling alley there in Sellersburg across from Jim O'Neill where it just burnt down a few years ago. And he said, I went into that bowling alley because that's where I just used to hang out as a child. And he said, an elderly lady that knew me was sitting there smoking a cigarette. And she said, hey, so-and-so, what are you doing here back in town? I thought you was in college. He said, well, I am. But he said, I've come back to study about a man named William Branham that they say is a prophet. And said, she began to cry, sitting there holding that cigarette in her hand. She said, you mean Billy Branham? He said, I don't know. His name was William. Maybe they called him Billy. She said, I dated him. And said, in fact, I called him a sissy one time. You mean to tell me God don't work on both ends of the line? Said, I called him a sissy one time because he wouldn't smoke a cigarette. She said, ever since then, I can't get his face from before me. And she said, I have tried and I have tried and I have tried, but I can't quit smoking these things. And she said, I don't know about him being a prophet, but I know that he was a real man of God. I would have liked to have heard the man's thesis when he went back home. God has this whole thing worked out. God brings people that, you know, you would think, how on earth would God ever bring these two people together? But God knows what he's doing, and God knows how to get our attention. How could this man, he wasn't raised listening to the message. He didn't know any bit more about Brother Branham than a billy goat would. But there was something about it. The spirit down on the inside recognized there's something wrong with this picture. And then people get so scared to death of somebody preaching to them and deceiving them. You know what that tells me? They didn't have the Holy Ghost to begin with. Because the Holy Ghost, it's a token that's around us. And when there's something that's just a little bit off, there's something, I don't care if it's me or a guest minister or who it is, somebody say something, maybe not even intentionally. Maybe they were just remembering something wrong. I had a brother the other day, he was telling me, so Brother Bram said this, and it was about his cousin or his aunt one. He said, no, it was about his grandma, and we were both wrong. It was his sister-in-law when I went back to look at it. Didn't make neither one of us a devil. We both just remembered it wrong. But there's something about it that the Holy Spirit, when something, just like Brother Bram standing there answering those questions, he would have never, you couldn't have given him all the money in the world to answer one of those questions wrong. But he's standing there and something's wrong. What is it? The Holy Spirit speaking to him, letting him know. I have confidence in the Holy Spirit. I don't claim that I'll never be confused, but I'll never be deceived because elect can't be deceived. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 13. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Now I want you to notice, he was standing there and he had on these old clothes that he had wore. And Elijah's getting ready to go across Jordan. And as he goes across, and Elisha cries out, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elijah is caught up in a chariot up into heaven. He's so disappointed to see this man of God go. He had been a mentor to him. He had been an encouragement to him. He had been as Brother Bram told T.L. Osborne about Brother Bosworth, he said, you go up and sit underneath that old oak up there and learn. And he had been just a stability to Elisha and an encouragement to him. And to see him go, he sits there and he rends his old clothes because he knows he's not going to need those anymore anyhow. And he takes up that mantle of Elijah and he wraps it around him. And he takes that mantle, it says in verse 14, he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and he smote the waters. And he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Now I want you to notice this same anointing was on this man, and he goes back and he says the same thing that man did. He smote the water with the same mantle, and the waters did the exact same thing, and he walked across on dry land. Now I'm not here to tell you that any of us is a prophet or the son of a prophet, as I believe it was Jeremiah said or Amos there, and I'm not here to tell you that we're going to go and we're going to speak squirrels into existence and that we're going to name it and claim it and we're going to do all these things and all these different ideas that some people get in their heads. But I am here to tell you tonight that the God of Elijah is still here. And even though Elijah had went up into glory, Elijah takes that same mantle with the same inspiration, the same anointing that was on Elijah, and he smites the water, and he said, where is the God of Elijah? And the God of Elijah answered him. Now, why couldn't he have just said, where is God? God who? God Baal or God this one or God that one? but he identified the God of Elijah. Now, I know some people, especially those leaving the message, that just upsets them to pieces because they don't think we should say Brother Branham's name, or, you know, if you say Brother Branham's name 47 times and Jesus is 46, you know, they think that you're trying to, you have an agenda or something to weed Jesus out of the picture. All the glory should go to Jesus. I don't care if it was Moses or Elijah or Jonah or John the Baptist or William Branham or Bill Layton or whoever it is. It's God working through that person anyhow. But when Joshua got over the banks of Jericho or the banks of Jordan there and he began to talk to the people, he wasn't ashamed to point them back. Remember what Moses said. Remember what Moses said. Remember the law of Moses in Horeb. Remember how Moses said we should divide the lands. And he was constantly pointing back. And I want to tell you, even after Elijah was already gone off the scene, Elisha wasn't ashamed or embarrassed to identify himself with the prophet and the God that he served. He said, where is this God of Elijah? Where is this God of Elijah? He wasn't ashamed of it anymore. He didn't say, oh my, you know, now that he's gone, I guess some of these guys are going to have websites and they're going to call us a cult and they're going to call us this and they're going to call us that. So I just won't say Elijah's name anymore. He wasn't ashamed of it. I've heard of some ministers around the message said, we're not going to read the quotes anymore because we don't want to offend anybody. Well, it offends me if you don't. Brother Bram says this in the Pool of Bethesda, 1950. He said, Father, tonight I wonder how it is that the church is afraid after the robe of the Holy Spirit is fell upon it and scream out, where is the God that was on Jesus? Where is the God that was on Jesus? Where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of William Branham? You know, he's not blind that his eyes can't see, and his arms aren't shortened that he can't reach. And in fact, he promised us that wherever two or three were gathered, he'd be right in our midst. He'd be right in our midst. Brother Branham, I heard him on a tape the other day. He said, we'll be surprised when we go back, when we get over into glory, and we can look back and see God's great videotape. And see all that was taking place and see the presence of God with us so many times, time after time. How many services he was right there with us. How many car accidents he protected us from. How many people that he led our direction to encourage us. How many times that maybe a doctor that would have gave us the wrong thing or would have been maybe drunk and cut something that he shouldn't have on the surgery table and killed us. He had that doctor call in sick that day so we could get a different doctor. How many times that he guided our footsteps all the way down through life from a little child. Where is the God of Elijah? He's here tonight. He's a present help in the time of trouble. He's not here because of these four walls or because of the roof or because of the size of the pews or the height of the steeple. He's here tonight because you brought him with you. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in buildings made of hand, but in tabernacles of flesh. Not in old stony hearts, but in a heart that's been seasoned and purified and cleansed by the Holy Spirit. He dwells amongst us still tonight. And I can see little glimpses of him every once in a while. I can see and Brother Arnie and Brother Stephen and Brother Jimmy and each one of you, I can see a little glimpse of, you know, that's an attribute of my daddy. Coming out in that person, the way they treated somebody and the way they were kind to somebody. You know, I had lunch with a brother not too long ago that doesn't even attend our church. And he said, Brother Nathan, I want to tell you something. He said, the people at your church are the nicest, kindest, most friendliest people I've ever met. And he said, they show so much love to one another. I said, what? I thought, what a testimony. I could ask him, well, what on earth are you not doing coming here if you feel that way? But we don't believe in proselyting. But that was the statement that he made to me. What a testimony that is. Somebody's watching your life. Maybe it's your spouse, and maybe they've been disappointed lately. They think, oh, Lord, I know they claim they got the Holy Ghost, but they sure aren't showing it lately. It's not on display. Sometimes I've been sick all week, and I've been grumpy, Brother Layton. I haven't felt good. Complaining and whining like a baby. My wife had to put up with me, Brother David. Sometimes it's your spouse that's watching your life. Sometimes it's your next door neighbor. They hear you yelling at the kids in the yard and screaming and hollering and slamming doors. And they think, oh, I thought they were supposed to be a Christian. Sometimes it's somebody at your job that's watching your life. Or somebody at your school. Or somebody that you meet out at a restaurant. They thought, oh my, I thought they believed the message. Why are they doing this? And how are they doing that? And how can they reconcile these things? Somebody's watching your life. And it's either going to be a testimony that's going to come out somewhere and somebody say, you know what, I was so discouraged. And I was so weary, and I just felt like nobody was serving the Lord. And I saw you out in a restaurant, and I saw you witness to somebody. I saw you bow your head and pray, and it just encouraged my heart so much to recognize that there's still really genuine believers out there. It's either going to be a testimony, or it's going to be a stumbling block that, oh my, I can't believe brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, they're out here doing this. And I can't believe brother so-and-so would stoop so low. And I thought he was a real Christian. Somebody's watching you. Somebody was watching Elijah. His life was influencing a prophet that would do twice the works that he did. His ministry so impacted. His spirit, his life, the miracles that he did, the way he served God so impacted this young man that he picked up that same spirit and that same mantle and went on and did even greater works. It affected him. Who's watching your life? You say, Brother Nathan, I don't think anybody's watching me. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. Let me read it again. Brother Branham said in the Pool of Bethesda, 1950, he said, Father, tonight I wonder how it is that the church is afraid after the robe of the Holy Spirit has fell upon it and scream out, where is the God that was on Jesus? Let's just bow our heads tonight if the musicians would come. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've read the quotes and we've read the scriptures, we've looked into your word tonight. We've heard the different things that your prophet has told us and looked at the scriptures of different things that took place. How your prophet spoke and said, how is it that after we've been robed with the Holy Spirit, we would be afraid to say, where is the God that was on Jesus? Lord, may tonight, Lord, if there's some part of our life that, Lord, we're struggling in, maybe we can look around and say, Lord, I don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody else. I don't want my life to bring reproach upon the message. I don't want my decisions to hinder somebody else in their walk with God. I want it to be such, Lord, that they could see you live through me, through my robe of flesh. That they could see the Holy Spirit so quickening my life, that they could see you through me. That my life would have an impact on them, that instead of being a stumbling block or a hindrance, that it would encourage them to want to be a better Christian. That it would encourage them to have more of you in their life. Lord, I want to be salty. I want others to thirst for more of you because of my life. I don't ever want to do anything that would stumble somebody or offend somebody or hinder someone in their walk with you. That maybe they're comparing their life to mine and say, well, sister so-and-so does it, or brother so-and-so does it. I guess it must be okay. But Father, may that same God that anointed Elijah, the same God that anointed Elisha, that anointed Brother Branham, the same God that became flesh and walked upon the earth in a temple that he created called Jesus. May that same life of Christ live out in us, Father, so that others could see it. May we become so much like you, Father, until our neighbors recognize there's been a change. Our schoolmates recognize there's been something different about you. I don't know what it is, but used to when somebody would say something evil about you, you'd get so upset. Now you go and find a spot and pray for that person. Maybe our spouse would recognize, you know what, there's something different about you. Maybe our children would recognize that, mommy or daddy, I see more of God in you than I used to. I see a greater anointing on you, a more humble, sweet, meek spirit. I see there's something different about you. I want to have that same type of life that you're living. It has so impacted me that I want to be like Jesus too. Oh God, may that be our testimony. Lord, sometimes we get so caught up in arguing over doctrine and arguing over ideas and arguing over all kinds of man-made dogma. But Father, when I think of how your prophet said that what we need in Jeffersonville tonight is thousands of lived voices. He said that's That's the thunder that shakes the enemy. That's the thunder that shakes the devil. Not how high we can jump or how loud we can scream or how fast we can quote, but that lived voice, a living word, a life that's producing what we believe. Oh, Father, may people begin to recognize that Father lives through us. Lord, as I share the testimony, Lord, I believe that there are those that are beginning to see, Lord, that there's a group of people that have been changed for the better, that your Holy Spirit is coming, Lord, down upon us. And it's not just giving us more theology or not just giving us more intellectual conception, but Lord, it's given us more love. It's given us more patience, more brotherly kindness. It's tempering us, Lord, to where things don't bother us as bad as they used to. And it's, Lord, it's just given us such a love for our fellow man. Lord, even if they're wrong, even if we don't agree, something about it that it drives us, instead of to the phone or to Facebook or to text somebody to talk about them, it drives us to our knees to pray for that person. Oh, may you just give us more of your life in us, Father. We want to be more like you, Jesus. Take away the old things, Father, that of the world that would hinder and upset and cause our spirit not to be right with you, Father. Lord, we don't want to influence somebody in that direction, but we want to be so much like you, Lord, that our life would influence them to be more like you. We love you tonight, Father. Lord, you see each heart, you see each need. May you come tonight, minister to those needs, Father, we pray. Lord, may you take complete control as only you can. Lord, if there's things in our life that's hindered us from being that lived voice, that lived life of the Word becoming made flesh in us, may we lay those things down at your altar, Father. Say, from this day forth, Lord, I want to be a life that's a testimony, not a hindrance, but I want to live so much like Jesus that somebody could see Jesus in me. Grant it, Father, tonight. Jesus Christ's name we pray. Oh, it's my desire to be like Jesus. Oh, it's my desire to be often I have failed. Lord, I've brought you much shame, but it's my desire to be like Him. Oh, if you could see testimony tonight. It's my desire to help someone today, someone who might have failed to see the way. I was so lost, but thank God I found this way.
Praise his name.
Oh, it's already done by faith. Hallelujah. We can look, see those things that are not as though they are. We'll praise your name. Lord, this battle is over. My victory is won. Oh, it's already done. Maybe you're fighting sickness in your body tonight. Oh, but I'm already healed. Oh, hallelujah. I know I'm already healed. So praise his name. This battle is over. Victory is won. It's already done. Oh, for your loved ones, let's sing it this way. My family is sealed. Oh, hallelujah, my family is sealed. Praise your name. Lord, this battle is over. Victory is won. Oh, it's already done. One more time together. It's already done. Oh, it's already done. I know it's already done. We praise your name. The battle is over. Victory is won. Oh, it's already done. I shall overcome. Oh, I know I shall overcome. I know I shall.
Of the word and the different things that you have revealed. How gracious you are, Lord, to come amongst us and to let us feel thy presence and to walk up and down the aisles and to bless us, your children. How we love you and how we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And Father, I trust now that as each one of us leave this building, we won't leave your presence, but we'll take you home with us. Lord, and let us entertain you well, knowing that you're the author and finisher of our salvation, that you're the one that had the power to lay your life down and the power to raise it up again. And Lord, to come back and to call us unto you. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this message tonight. Thank you for your presence and for your love. We thank you for everything you do for us. Now, Father, keep us in the center of thy perfect will, and then bring us back again at the appointed time. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
God bless you. Let's sing it as we go.
Oh, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. Of his love. Yes, we'll give all the glory.
Brother Arnie. Yeah.